I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth forth fruit, he taketh away, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. And that good evening goes to those joining us via the internet, wherever you are on this round world. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as abundantly as he blesses us in this sacred building. Let's pray that God be with us, and direct us, and bless us, and teach us, and may we sense the presence of his Spirit among us. Before I go any further, our message for tonight is, just do it. What did I say? Remember the old Nike saying, just do it. Our subject is just do it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, dear Father, for your stubborn, persistent love for us. Your long-suffering, dear God. We thank you so much for Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank you for that mercy. Now, God, using the blood of your Son, forgive our sins. Cleanse us, Father, that we may be clean in your presence. Put your words in my mouth. Help me to speak fearlessly, Father, compassionately, boldly, and clearly. And let the word do its work in the hearts of those who listen, honestly. Bless those who are still on their way. Grant them traveling mercies, Father. Bless the leadership of this country. Let them always remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. Now, dear God, take all the glory and grant to us the blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. All right, what's our subject? Let's go to John 5. And we'll read from the King James Version of the Bible. John chapter 5, reading from verse 36. John 5, reading from verse 36. When you found it, say amen. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to do, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now Jesus is saying that he did the works of his Father. The works which the Father hath given me to do, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Jesus came to do something. Let's go to John 6. You read from verse 25 to make the connection. Then we'll read down to 28. Then we'll go to verse 38 of John 6, our subject. Just do it. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now listen to verse 28 carefully. Then say they unto him, read it with me, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, what does God want us to do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, finish the verse, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus says, this is what God wants you to do. In chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus says, the works the Father gave me to do. John 6, 28, here's what the Father wants you to do. Let's go to verse 38 of John 6. Our subject, just do it. Do you have verse 38? Read with me, what does it say? For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. Here again, Jesus says, I came to do something. Not just believe. I came to do something. Let's go to John 9. John 9, we read verse 4, very familiar verse. It's 8:14. I'll release you in good time this evening. I'm grateful for being allowed to get up early tonight. What book did I say? John, what chapter? 9, what verse? 4. Read with me, what does it say? I must do what? Work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus says there's something I need to do, and I need to get about the business of doing it, because night will come, meaning the absence of opportunity to do what God has given us to do. You know, when Moses was not Moses, Noah was building the ark, he took 120 years. And all that time, the wicked had an opportunity to accept his teaching. That's what they should have done. When the angel shut the door of that ark, it wasn't shut by an angel. Noah couldn't shut it. Because what God shuts, you can open. And what God opens, you can shut. When the door was shut, nothing happened for 7 days. And I'm sure after 7 days, the rain began to fall. They came to that door knocking. They should have done that before the door was closed. So Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. This meeting is daytime. Did that go over your heads? No. This meeting is daytime. You need to do something, do it. And what is that work? Accept Christ. And so I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's go to John 17. John 17, one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful chapter in the Bible. This is the prayer of Jesus. Read it when you get home. Have your children memorize it. A powerful, powerful chapter. And everything Christ prays for in that chapter, the Father will do, because the Father grants Christ everything he asks for. Isn't that something? And in that chapter, Jesus says, I pray for them. Christ prayed for us. And the Father will answer that prayer unless we frustrate the Father's attempt to answer the prayer of Christ. John 17, verse 4, read with me. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. My brothers and sisters, Christ came to do. Not just to believe. He came to do. Luke 18, reading verse from 18 of Luke 18. Our subject is what? Just do it. Luke 18, Luke was a medical doctor. I'm sure you know that. So if you're a doctor or a nurse, that's no excuse for not serving God or for being too busy. Luke found time to write the Gospel of Luke and to write the book of Acts. And to travel with Paul. So there was one doctor who found time for God. All right. Luke chapter what? 18, verse what? 18. Read with me. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Here again, what shall I do? Now, Jesus did not say, that's a bad question. Verse 19. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Next verse. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. What was Jesus doing? Telling him what? What to do. What was the young man's question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, here's what you do. He said, keep the commandments. Do. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. And I hope you don't mind if I flood your brain with God's word. But even so-called Christians resist the fact that they have to do something. Many Christians think that faith is just a state of mind, and you can go do whatever you like and just have a state of mind called faith. Oh, no. Acts 9, reading from verse 4. You know the story? Saul is going to Damascus for letters, authority to arrest the believers and to have them killed. The Bible says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now read verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, come on, read it. What wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus did not say, that is the wrong question. Finish the verse. And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Jesus said, I have some people who will tell you what you need to do. God is our Savior, and so is Christ. Salvation is the result of a process. Let me say that again. Salvation is the result of a process. You are convicted by the Spirit of God. Anyone not convicted feels a desire for Christ. The person is convicted. The person acknowledges that I cannot save myself. The person cries out to God, and God does something. There's conviction, yield to it. There's confession, and there's a call for salvation. Now, the very discreet act of saving a person is instant, but the process that leads to it requires you to do this and that and that. What's our subject? Just do it. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. In this chapter, Paul and Silas are in prison. And they're singing hymns in prison. By the way, when things are going wrong, that's a good time to sing. Sing hymns. Recite some Bible verses. Read the steps of Christ or something. It's not the time to be so depressed that you turn away from your only source of power, which is God. Are you with me? When things are going wrong, sing a hymn. A friend of mine sent me a text once. He said, I'm depressed. I said, go to a mirror. Smile at the mirror. I mean, smile. The person wrote back and said, I feel better. Because the smile affects the mind. The mind affects the smile. So when she saw the smile, she wrote back and said, I feel better. Now, her circumstances did not change, but something changed up here. When things are going badly, don't just hang your head and cry. You may do a little crying, but let crying not be the only thing you do. Sing a hymn. By the way, if you're tempted to sin, sing a hymn. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. You'll be surprised how the urge diminishes. And so Paul and Silas were singing hymns, and suddenly there was an earthquake. That must have been some powerful singing. There was an earthquake. Now, in those days, if the ruler, not the ruler, the warden lost his prisoners, he had to take his own life. Or the Roman authorities would take it for him. When the jailer realized that the doors had been made open by the earthquake, he drew his sword to kill himself. Paul cried out, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang into the cell and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, verse 30, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30 of Acts 16. What must I do? Read verse 31. And they said unto him, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Paul and Silas told him what to do. Review and Herald, October 30, 1888, paragraph 3. Review and Herald, October 30, 1888, paragraph 3 and paragraph 4. In the work of salvation, God requires the cooperation of man. In paragraph 2, there is a work that every one of us must do if we would be saved in the eternal world. Let me say that again. Paragraph 2, October 30, 1888, the Publication, Review, and Herald. There is a work that each one, every one of us, must do if we would be saved in the eternal world. There is no salvation in laziness. There's something you must do. That is faith in action. Now let's look at the cross of Christ. Calvary. Let's read John 3:16. Read with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we need to take a microscopic look at this word, believeth. When someone believes, what does that person do? For God so loved the world. That's what God did, you see. He did something. Loving is doing something. He gave, he did something. That whosoever believeth, that's doing something, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse tells us there's something God does, and there's something we do. Now, when someone believes, what is the person doing? Let us go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Our subject, just do it. 25 after 8. 1 John 3, verse 23. Towards the back of the Bible. 1 John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, wrote 1 John. The closest disciple to Christ, by his own declaration. That's what John said of himself. Are you there? Read verse 23 with me. And this is his commandment, that we should do what? Believe on what? The name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We'll read that again, this time with microscopically. And this is his what? Commandment. Stop. What is the only response God requires when he gives a commandment? Obey. That's the only response God requires. Obey. Listen again. This is his commandment, that we do what? Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that believing is what? Let me reword my question. Who told us to believe? God. God has told us, believe. And the Bible expresses it as a command. This is his commandment, that we do what? Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when you believe, what have you done? You've obeyed. Now, let's go back to John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, obeyeth. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever obeyeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we need more than one verse. Go back to John. This time the Gospel, same author, but different book. The Gospel of John. We'll go to chapter 6. Not 6, chapter 5. We read it before. Let's read it again. John 6, verse 28. John 6, 28. Do you have it? Read it with me. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Keep reading. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God that ye what? Believe on him whom he hath sent. This is what God wants you to do, says Christ. Believe. And when you believe, you have obeyed. Christians hate the word obey. And we go through all kinds of gymnastic reasoning to get around obey. We use legalism to intimidate those who obey. We accuse them of trying to save themselves by their own efforts. The foundation of salvation is obedience. Let me rephrase my words. The basis, the condition, I should say, of salvation is obedience. I will save you if. Now, the foundation of grace is not obedience. Are you with me? God was gracious by sending Jesus. We didn't have to ask. That plan was put in place before we were born. The foundation of grace. But those who stood outside of the ark, they were under grace, but lost. Because it never came to the point of obedience. You see, grace spares the life to give you an opportunity to obey. The death of Jesus Christ on Calvary secured the entire world. That's why in the sanctuary services there was a morning and an evening sacrifice. Long before the sinner came to repent, he was covered by the morning and the evening sacrifice. He was covered but not justified. You must obey. That's faith in God. Let's look at, as I said earlier, Calvary as in typical form. What sacrifice in the Old Testament represented Calvary? Well, the lamb, yes, but what, of the seven annual feasts, which one represented Calvary? The Passover. That's the death of Christ, the Passover. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, For Christ, our Passover, is crucified for us. Referring to what happened on Calvary's Hill. The Passover is the cross of Christ in typical form. All right. Let's go look at the Passover and see if obedience has anything to do with it. Exodus 12, reading from verse 1, it is 8:30 on the dot. Exodus 12, reading from verse 1. When you found that, say amen. All right, some of you still looking? Exodus, written by Moses, chapter 12, reading from verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Read with me, what does it say? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, and say what? In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. Verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Now these are instructions. Let's pause. What's the first item of instruction given? All right. When? On the tenth day. A lamb. Okay. How many lambs for a household? But if the household is very small, a few other households can join in. Okay. Let's go to verse 5. Read with me. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That's another item. A male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the morning. In the evening. All right, give me some details that God gave the Israelites. So far, we're up to verse 6. Give me some details. A lamb, without blemish. A male. Come on, first year, Take it from sheep or goats, come on. Keep it up until 14th day, but you pick it when? On the 10th. You keep it up until the 14th. Let's go to verse 7. Read with me, what does it say? And they shall take of the blood and strike it, where? On the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. What other details do we have? You're going to kill it, yeah. Verse 6 says, kill it in the evening. Verse 7? Take the blood. Strike it where? The two side posts? Now, those are a lot of details. Verse 8. Read with me. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Verse 9. Eat none of it raw nor sodden at all, with what? With water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. Verse 10, what does it say? And he shall let none of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth until the morning he shall burn with fire. Verse 11, read it. Clearly, say it again. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. Come on, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Stop. Let's review all the details again. Come on, give me one. Come on. Now you sound like the Tower of Babel. I can't understand what you're saying. Give me one. Take a lamb. No blemish. Male, 10th day. Kill it on the 14th day. In the evening. Come on, take the blood and do what? Hit it on the two side posts and the upper door post. Eat it with? Roast it. Eat it with bitter herbs, unleavened bread. Roast with fire. And what physical condition must they be in? They got to be standing. You don't sit for this meal, you stand. What's on your feet? Your shoes. What's in your hand? Your staff. Your loins. You're ready to move. Have you ever heard of eat and run? Now, let's go to verse 12. Read with me. Come on, read with me. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, let's read verse 13. Nice and slow, but before we read, let's pray. Dear God, please help us all, particularly me, because of my work of delivering the word. Speak simply through me and powerfully, that you alone glorified in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Come on. And when I see, stop. Did God say when I see the unleavened bread?
No.
Did he say when I see the whatever? No. What did he say? When I see the blood. What does that mean to you?
Jesus.
And Jesus alone. But I said earlier, the condition of salvation is obedience. How do Adventists study the Bible? What's our fundamental principle? One of them. Hear a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Go lower down in that chapter. Go to verse 22. Our subject, just do it. Let's see what God means by when I see the blood. You have verse 22. Read with me. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Keep reading. And strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at his door until the morning. Here's another detail we did not get. Don't leave your house until the morning. Now, read carefully verse 23. Come on. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptian. And when he seeth what? Stop. When he sees what? But keep reading. Go ahead. Yes, stop. What if the blood was only on the doorknob? You destroyed. Listen to the verse. When he seeth the blood, where? Where I said to put it. Which means, when I see that you had chosen it on the 10th day, when I see you killed it on the 14th day, when I see you killed it in the evening, when I see you ate it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, when I see you dip the blood not with a bunch of roses but with hyssop, when I see you have done everything I said, I'll pass over that house. The condition of salvation, finish my words, obedience. When I see the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, not just the blood anywhere. The blood of Christ is powerful, but it must be applied where he told us to apply it. Remember Acts 19, those seven professional exorcists? They tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it didn't work. Because Christ was not in their hearts, you see. And so the demon beat them up. Demon said, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but who are you? When I see the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, I'll pass over that house. When I see obedience, I'll pass over that house. Because you know what caused sin? Disobedience. Listen to Ellen White, Patriarchs and Prophets, page 278, paragraph 2. Patriarchs and Prophets, 278, paragraph 2. Had the Israelites disregarded in any particular the directions given them, they would not have been safe. Now, we saw all the details. She writes, if they had neglected one, they would not have been safe. All who failed to heed the Lord's directions lost their firstborn by the hand of the destroyer. So here's an Israelite house. Are you with me? Chose the lamb on the 10th day of the first year without blemish. Killed it on the 14th day in the evening. Roasted it with fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, shoes on his feet, staff in his hand, loins girded, didn't leave any up for the next morning, but put the blood only on the two side posts, dead. I want the blood on the two side posts and the upper door posts. I want the animal male. I want it without blemish. I want it the first year. I want it chosen on day 10, killed on day 14. In the evening, unleavened bread, your bitter herbs, dip the blood with hyssop, do what I say, says God. And I'll save you. What's our subject? Review and Herald, October 30, 1888, paragraph 8. Those who take the position that Christ has done it all, and that they need not obey the requirements of God, will fail of everlasting life. Legalism is an attempt to save your own self. God never told us to do that. When we do what God said, that's not legalism, that's faith in action. God promised a child to Abraham and Sarah, did he not? Yes or no? Yes. When they were past age, God lingered until they were beyond the age of the ability to reproduce. Abraham was over the hill, Sarah was over the hill. Bam. Loins dead, womb dead. God said, you'll have a child. Did they believe that? Did they believe it? Come on. By the time Abraham was too old to have a son and Sarah too old, did they believe it? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, did they believe it? By the time Abraham and Sarah were 190, Abraham 100, Sarah 90, did they come to the place where they believed? Yes. Now, was that enough to produce Isaac? Wait a minute, listen to me. Was belief enough to produce Isaac? Did they have to physically come together and study the quarterly? Yes or no? Yes! Are you with me? They had, as man and wife, to come together. This is obedience. This is faith in action. I believe the Israelites have been prisoners for decades, centuries. We believe God can save us. Because of that, we get the lamb the 10th day, killed on the 14th day, in the evening, roast with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, and take the hyssop, dip the blood, side post, door post, because we believe He can do it. My brothers and sisters, God is the expert at saving people. So He tells us what to do. Are you following me? When before April 15 comes around, some of you are already doing this, don't you send your taxes to somebody? Doesn't the person tell you what to do and what not to do so you're not audited? Why do you do it? Because that person is an expert in preparing taxes. You go to the mechanic. He says, turn on the light, you turn it on. Turn on the right indicator, you do that. The left, you do that. Press the brake, you do that. Why? He knows what he's doing. You're in school, taking calculus, can't understand anything. You go to the teacher, you can't understand calculus. Why? Because he knows. You need to be saved from sin. We come to God. God says, here's what you do. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. How is God to save us? My brothers and sisters, when God says it, just do it. If you truly believe. And so salvation has a condition. The condition, tell it to me, obedience. How much obedience? 100% of all you know. Not everyone knows everything. God knows that. If you know this, God says do that. But the carnal nature hates obedience. It hates obedience. Don't tell me what to do. I'll put the blood on the mat. It's blood. What's the problem? God, it's blood. It's right there. No, I want it on the doorpost and on the side post. I'll kill it on the 13th day. It's still dead. No, I want it killed on the 14th day. Why do I need to eat it with bitter herbs? Why not with broccoli? No, I want it with bitter herbs. That's what I want in order to save you. My brothers and sisters, I appeal to you in the name of Jesus. Ask God for a heart that's willing to say, what wilt thou have me to do? And when He tells you, just do it. Because you'll be following the recommendations of an expert in salvation. So if someone's seated before me, you know you're stubborn regarding God. You will not do what God says. You will not forgive somebody. Even so, God says if you don't forgive, you can't be saved. But you won't forgive. And even though the person, a lot of things we just won't do because we don't like them. But God says do them. Because I told you to do it. I know how to save. Do what I say. Who will say with me, Father, give me the heart to just do it at your command. Can I see your right hand? Just stand up with me. Just do it. I want you to leave this place tonight remembering the condition of salvation is obedience. Just do what God says. and He'll save you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, as I said earlier, for your patience. We can't understand how a sinless God can be so patient with sinners. And our sins cause you so much suffering. But we thank you, dear God, that you've said in your word, 2 Peter 3:9, Lord is not willing that any should perish. Thank you for that comfort, Father. Forgive us for our hard-heartedness. Forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us, dear God, for being so stiff-necked and disobedient. And remember your words in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Do that, God, beginning now. So that our joy may be to obey you, knowing that obedience to God is the path of a blessed life. Please, Father, take away this hatred we have for obedience and give us the mind of Jesus. Now as we leave, take us safely. Bless those of us who, of those who join via the internet, Father. Let your spirit work on them right now. Because listening to me via the internet is some stubborn man, stubborn woman, stubborn boy, stubborn girl who will not yield to God. Father, hear this humble prayer. Let us be different people when we walk through that door from what we were when we came in. I offer this prayer from my heart, dear God. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.